Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. And so we need to do some thinking about this in the sense of why does he ask us to pray to him, give us this day our daily bread? Is the Lord so restricted in his omniscience that he doesn't know we need some food? If you look over in chapter 6 and verse 31, it says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." And so this prayer must go beyond just informing God that we need some food, that we need some bread, because he already knows that. And so why does he ask us to pray this prayer? Well, I think the first thing we could say is that it acknowledgement of, how should I word this? Acknowledgement of our dependency. On God. Are we really dependent upon God? Sometimes I think we can get to a place where, you know, we got it in control, or we think we have it in control, and we get up, go to work, coming and going, and not even think of our need for the Lord. And so it's not, when he says, give us this day our daily bread, it's not to influence God. It's more to get us to focus that everything we have, and I mean everything, absolutely everything we have from God. The clothes we wear, the job we have, it's all from God. In Acts, it says when he was talking there at Athens to the superstitious, the very religious people, he introduced them to the God of creation. And he says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." You know, this morning, of course, the time changed. And I was awake at 6 o'clock. And then I heard Laura and Jordan come in to eat breakfast with us, and I looked at the clock, and it's 8 o'clock, and I'm still in bed. And I didn't jump up and, you know, acknowledge the fact that in him I live and move and have my being. That the very fact that we are alive is because the Lord has allowed it. And so, when I bow my head and pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's not so much that I don't even have bread in my house, but it's the fact that I'm acknowledging that it comes from him, that all I have comes from him. I mean, bread is... Today over in the other building, we had at the food bank distribution this week, there was two people who didn't come get their food, and one of them had 11 boxes. And two of those boxes was full of bread. after working at the food bank, I know there's more bread that comes into the food bank in this town than a hog farmer could give to his hogs to eat. And so bread is abundant, but the Lord nevertheless wants us to acknowledge that it's here because of him. And there's plenty of places in the world where bread is not abundant. But he's trying to get us to realize that everything we have is from him. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And so faith is a gift from God, but not just faith only. Grace is a gift from God, but not just grace only. Peace is a gift from God. Health is a gift from God. But the very rain from heaven is a gift from God. And the wheat that grows in the field that becomes flour and puts bread on the table is a gift from God. And so, why is this necessary? Because when we live affluency, results in, well, what should we say? Self-dependency. And we live in a very affluent society. And to where, why should I thank God for my bread or even pray for it? I got plenty of it. And look over in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And verse 6. Deuteronomy 8 and 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. And so he's giving them instruction in going into the promised land. Just a little bit of information about Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, of course, is written by inspiration by by Moses. We're an hour earlier, so you got to give me a little bit of, by Moses. And this is the last 30 days of Moses' life. He knows that he's not going to go to the promised land. And if you read this in the light of that, Moses, I think in chapter 6, he stands before all Israel and he said, he brought us out that we might go in. He brought us out of Israel so we could go in. Go. Go in and take what's ours. And all of Deuteronomy is should be read with understanding that their leader is pouring his heart out to them and encouraging them. Go get all that God has for you. And he's warning them, though, here about becoming affluent. And he says in verse 7, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains, and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I have commanded thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so he's warning that when we become affluent, and when we have great things, when we don't go to bed hungry, that we can forget God. And so God, in giving us this model prayer, says, give us this day our daily bread, to remind us that it comes from him, and to remind us that we are not such big shots as we think we are. Drop down to verse 17 in this chapter. He says, and thou in thy heart, and thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, that it is this day. And that's where I want to quit. But, you know, I went to school. I got this good education. I got this great job now. And I'm set for life. I'm getting a good retirement. And I'm set up. You know, and I've got, you know, my wisdom and my forethought and my initiative has put me in a really good place. And that's a real danger for us individually. And I really think it's a real danger for independent Baptist churches. I know in my ministry that there's a whole lot more kneeling by my bed when I first came here. And I had the great salary of $830 a month. And at the end of the month, there was always less than $100 in the bank account. And we were supporting 5 missionaries. And you tend to talk to God more about those things. But as the bank accounts increased to 1,000 and more, then that closeness and that tie to the Lord goes away. And now you're dependent upon these men in your church who've obtained themselves good jobs and know the value and the principle of tithing. Our focus sometimes can turn to them instead of the Lord. And he's just saying here that when we become affluent, the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, really is frivolous. And he said, don't come to that place. Understand, if you're being blessed financially, then God is doing that blessing. And don't let the blessing that you receive financially to become a curse spiritually. We need each to bow our head and say, Lord, I know without you, I'm absolutely nothing. I have nothing, and I am nothing. And so the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is to acknowledge our dependency upon the Lord, because there comes a slow, subtle change in the heart of a man to pray this prayer. And that change, that slow, subtle change where I am comfortable and I'm not worrying, or I don't say we should worry, but I'm not concerned about where I'm going to eat this week, it actually can become deadly. What happens is we get a job, the money begins to flow, we're not only able to purchase our needs, but we can now purchase our wants. And we can say, my power and my might hath gotten me this wealth. And we take up on ourselves incredible vanity. Our wisdom and our abilities. We begin to think that we're the master of our own destiny. Pride swells within us. Blindness darkens our spiritual insight. And when we don't have those things, we become moody and depressed and restless. Look in the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Speaking about Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 28. And this came upon the king of Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of thy kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And so you see twice here, my power and my majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. It sounds like something that needs to happen in America. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird claws. He is insane. He became insane. There's kind of a striking and fearful verse in the Bible where the Bible says, the Lord says, I'm not going to share my glory with any man. And then look down in verse 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, for say unto him, what doest thou? And so, if you're into sports, when God looks upon the great athletes, Tom Brady, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, the inhabitants of the earth are considered as nothing. that we better that we better realize that we are what we are by God's grace. Harry Ironside, when he was a young man going to school, he's a commentator, Bible commentator. He went to a cafeteria to eat, and he got his tray, and he looked around. There was no place to sit except there was one seat at a table where a man was already eating. And he went and asked permission to sit there, and he sat down. And he bowed his head to pray, to thank the Lord for his food. And when the man saw him praying, he kind of eyed him over and frowned at him. And he said to Ironside, "What's the matter? Anything wrong with your food?" Ironside said, "No, I don't think so. It seems all right to me." Well, he said, "Have you a headache or something?" And Ironside said, "No, I haven't. Why do you ask?" Well, he said, "I notice you bowing down and putting your hand up to your head and closing your eyes. And I thought there was something wrong with your head." The tone of his voice, he was, of course, trying to make an issue out of him bowing to pray. And he said, "Well, I simply bowed my head to thank God for the food that I have." And the guy said, "Oh, you believe that stuff, do you?" And Ironside said, "Don't you ever give thanks?" And he said, "No, I don't. I don't believe in giving thanks for anything. I just start right out and eat." And Ironside said, "Oh, you're just like my dog. He never gives thanks either. He just dives right in. And if you have a beagle, it particularly dives right in." I mean, I could be feeding Rebecca's lab and Molly and give them the same amount of food, and Molly's done in, actually, she's done in about 10 seconds. And Jane, being the nice little girl she is, she just, you know, eats daintily. But beagles are very aggressive to eat, and I don't even know how they swallow, because I know that there's not any saliva in there. She's just swallowing dry food, and she's it's going down. But how often do we do that ourselves? Just like dogs that have no consciousness of their creator. And so it's a prayer to help us acknowledge our dependency upon the Lord. I think also that it's a prayer that it helps us to realize that God is in the little things. But God is in the little things. Although I think that when he says, "Give us this day our daily bread," that concept can expand out to, you know, my eggs and my bacon and my pot roast. So I think it goes beyond that. But nevertheless, he uses the term bread here. And what's common around the world, whether you're making bread out of manioc root or making bread out of rye or wheat or barley bread or whatever, or oats, that bread is a common thing. And it's taken for granted, and it's one of the, it's saying that we ought to be thankful down to the very slice of bread that we have. That God takes care of even the little things. If you look over in Psalms 34, I think God's wanting us to realize that he takes care of things even down to the smallest little thing of life, which would be bread. In verse 10 of Psalms 34, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. That God takes care. In chapter 37, or Psalm 37 and verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. And then down in verse 25, he says, I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And then in Matthew again, in chapter 6 where we're at, and verse 31, it says, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so God would have us not to be anxious over the material things, but over the spiritual things, and to realize that he's taking care of the smallest items in our lives. To pray, give us this day our daily bread, is to acknowledge that he loves us and he cares for us, and his hand is even upon the fact that we have a slice of bread to eat, unless you're gluten-free, I guess. Or unless you have pre-diabetes and you can't eat bread at all. I still remember coming home from school, and my mom had baked bread, and you could smell that, and I would go into the kitchen, and this may seem strange to you, but I'd beg for the heel. Now, most people don't like the heel on Fran's bread. I don't either. But I'm telling you, the heel off of baked bread slathered with butter. That's why I have prediabetes. Good thing Susie's not out here. And so, it's nothing short of arrogance for you or I to receive a request from one who hates us, one who rebels against us, for someone to come and ask me for some bread when he's cursed me. Yet, here God says, I'm going to give you your daily bread. We never sought a relationship with him. We didn't like to even retain him in our knowledge. We'd use his name as a curse word. And we really deserve nothing more from him than his wrath and his punishment. Yet, here in this passage, he says, ask of this God who you rejected, and now you're his. Ask him for your daily bread. And so God takes care of the little things. When I was a junior in high school, I was in a state championship football game, 8-man football. It was a small school. And we were behind. And here I am, you know, connected to the game, playing linebacker. And to me, it was a big deal. And I bowed my head and I say, Lord, you got to help us. It was just a game, as you look back. And the opposing team was throwing this pass, and our defensive end tipped it to change direction. And it actually fell in my hands, and I ran 60 yards for a touchdown. And we tied the game, and back then they didn't have a didn't have a tiebreaker established. And so we were both Riverside High School and Weirdo County High School were state champions. And I always felt like maybe there was at least one other Christian on Riverside's team. But I told that one time to a preacher here in Alaska, and he said, "I don't think God could be troubled with such trivial things." And actually, it was very trivial as you look back on it. But God is concerned for your daily bread. And that to get a football tipped, to put bread on my table, to say, "Let there be light," and there was light, all speaks of the power of God. And so I'm simply saying to you today that don't leave God out of the details. That he is concerned. That this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," is that God is concerned about every aspect of our lives. That he is involved with us personally. And then this prayer also, it should remove selfishness. Because note, it doesn't say "give me," but "give us." Give us our daily bread. And so we're not to come to God for ourselves alone. When I was young and we deer hunted, I was always upset that someone got a buck and I didn't. And I'd go home thinking, "Man, if I could just been there ahead of him," and this whole attitude about me. And I remember hunting on my uncle's place, and someone got a really nice deer, and I was thinking, "Man, I wish that would have been me." And my uncle said, "Well, good for him. I'm glad he got it." And I thought, "What? What's wrong with this guy?" He wasn't even a saved man at that time. And I went home thinking, there's probably nothing wrong with him. There's just something wrong with me. And that this prayer is to remove our selfishness. That I pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." That I want all of those people that I know to be provided for. And Acts says of the church, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that they ought of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common." Now, I'm thinking here, but is it... I'm not sure. I'm going to have to think more about this statement, but I'm going to let you begin to think about it. Is it right to ever say that this is mine? First of all, we know that God has given us what he's given to be stewards over, and so it's ours in a sense of stewardship, but he owns it. And they had all things in common. And I realized that, you know, we'll get certain tools. And sometimes if we loan those tools out, they don't always come back the way they went out. And we can be reluctant to share tools. I understand all that. But who owns the tools? And I'm simply saying that with praying this prayer removes this selfishness And I've always felt like in the sharing of tools, that if I borrow somebody's tool, if I borrow a chainsaw that's actually sharp, and I run it, you know, bucking up a log, and I keep putting it in the dirt, then I should be responsible to get it sharpened. Or if I borrowed a roller tiller one time, and from a guy, and when I got it, he said it's running fine. So I started up and started roller tillering, and about 15 minutes later, it seized up. It was out of oil. But it was on my watch. And I went and got a new Briggs & Stratton motor and had to put it on there. Because it was on my watch. And we ought to be willing to do that. And that lesson taught me to check the oil. But it also taught me to really think about borrowing anything from anybody. Because you're accountable. We're responsible. And so, give us this daily bread. It should take some selfishness out of our lives. We're just simply stewards over it. And then I think that the word daily is important. That we ought to live one day at a time. This is an interesting word, because this word daily is only found one time in the Bible, and that's here. And of all the study of other Greek writings, it's only found one time. It seemed like a word that is actually kind of coined or created by the apostles. And it indicates bread for the coming day. As we pray in the evening, we pray for the morning, before beginning the day, we're praying that our physical needs of the coming day would be met. And so it ought to be every day, and it ought to be regular. And so it's not that we pray, Lord, give me 6 months worth of bread, but just the bread for tomorrow. That we to The Bible does teach us now to be like the ant and lay up in store. It does teach us to be diligent, but it's trying to get us to focus on today. There, here in Matthew 6 and verse 34, it says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof." And so, how many times is this day that I'm living ruined and troubled because I'm worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? That we ought to live one day at a time. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put up in store. We give that example that if we're having to pay off a car, we ought to have a plan to pay off the car. And the best way to pay off a car is to save the money and then spend it. Because the borrower becomes servant to the lender. We can always do that when we're buying a house, but when you have equity in a house, you have equity, and so it's a little different situation there. But daily, it speaks about this idea of living one day at a time. And so make this day, not tomorrow or the next day, make this day the day to settle any grudges. Make this day the day to make things right. Because you know what? It may be your last day. Make this day the day that you repent and believe in the Lord. And then, of course, all of us comes together in the idea that we have understanding, that we understand, have an understanding of where bread comes from. In Matthew chapter 6 again, in verse 26, it says, "Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they?" So where does bread come from? Well, the thing about the birds, an example of the birds, is a good example, because God provides. He's saying he provides for the birds, but I've never seen a bird sitting on a power line or sitting on a twig of a tree, and he's just looking up, and he's looking up, and he's looking up, and he opens his mouth, and he's waiting for something to fall in his mouth. That doesn't happen that way. But the bread comes from God, but he provides it by working. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread," he says in Genesis 3. Interesting. After the curse, he says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it was thou taken." The Thessalonians were warned, saying, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but as busybodies. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." I'm convinced that that verse has been taken out of Bernie Sanders' Bible. But that's the philosophy that America is heading towards. And that the greatest motivation for a person to work is hunger. Is that he needs to get out, and so I'm saying God's going to provide for his people, and he even reigns on the just and the unjust. But how does bread come? Well, it comes by us getting out there and looking for it. And working for it. And I'm not denying that the Bible says that we're to take care of the widows and the orphans. But there's lots of people who are wanting bread, but they don't really fit in that category as being a widow or an orphan. And so, give us this daily bread. It's to acknowledge that we need the Lord. Be careful in this society in which we live of our affluency. God is even in the little slice of bread. He wants me to pray us, that I'm focused on those around us. He wants me to focus on him daily and realize that daily God wants to be in our affair, and then to realize that God has a process by which bread comes. He's got a process in which other things in our lives come, but we have to be involved with him. that God can give you a job so you can eat bread, that God takes care of things, and that sometimes when we lose our job, our apple cart's tipped over, then his children are drawn closer to him. I've seen it over and over and over, that people can either throw up their hands and say, God's dumped on me, or they can bow their knee and say, Lord, you've promised to provide for me. Lead me in what you want me to do. Lead me to the place higher than I. Okay.